For more information on ancient dragon Zengate and Taigen's teachings, please visit our website at www.ancientdragon.org. Our teachings are offered to the community through the generosity of our supporters. To make a donation online, please click on the link for Just Give on our website.
Good evening.
Good evening.
This evening I'm going to speak about another of Dogen's koans from his collection of koans and first comments in his extensive record. This one features Bajang Waihai, Yakujo, in Japanese, famous for giving a monk's funeral to a fox. But in this story, the other character is Chan Ching Dan, who's a less well-known student, successor of Bajang's. And one time, Dan asked Bajang, "This student yearns to understand Buddha. What is it?" So I'll read all the way through and then come back. Bajang said, "You are much like one searching for the ox while riding the ox." Don said, "How is it after understanding?" Bajang said, "It is like a person returning home riding the ox." Don said, "I'm not clear. How can I protect and care for it from beginning to end?" Bajang said, "It is like an ox herd holding up a staff to watch that the ox does not disturb people's seedlings." From then on, Don grasped the meaning. So that's the case, that's the story. And I'll come back to it, but I'll just read for now Dogen's verse comment, which, as often, turns the story. "Even with morning mist thin, his robe gets damp. Where the evening sun sets, birds fly on distant mountains. In this painting, an ox herd returns home amid evening radiance, singing of plum blossoms and the moon above the snow." So, this obviously refers to the ox herd in pictures and verses, a story about training, and there's various versions of this. There's 10 ox herding verses, and there's 6 ox herding verses. The 10 start with searching for the ox, then seeing traces, then seeing the ox, then catching the ox, then herding the ox. So there's this whole process of seeing reality. The ox here could be taken as a metaphor for the ultimate, the sense of wholeness, this background universal, this deep reality. After herding the ox, then there's coming home on the ox's back, which is referred to here by Bajang. Then the ox forgotten, leaving the person alone. Then the ox and person both gone out of sight, and then returning to the origin, back to the source, and then finally entering the city with bliss-bestowing hands. So that's an elaborate version of 10 of these. There's maybe 3 or 4 that are, 2 or 3 that are referenced here, but it does reference that description of the process. And I've talked here about Dongshan talking about practice on the mountaintop and going beyond stages, and I was talking about that this weekend in Houston too. So this isn't exactly stages, but it's talking about a natural process that we all work with, sometimes over and over again in our practice. So, going back to this story, Zen Master Chan Ching Dan asked Bajang, "This student yearns to understand Buddha. What is it?" And in some sense, this is the question. All the other questions and all the other stories come down to this question. What is Buddha? What does it mean to be the awakened, to be awake? Buddha is the awakened one. What does it mean for each of us to be Buddha on our cushion or chair? So all the other, you know, traditional questions, why did Bodhidharma come from the West, and so forth, really come down to, well, what is this Buddha? What are we doing here? And as Dogen emphasizes, it's not just what is it, it's not just about understanding it. So Don here is caught up in wanting to some explanation, it seems. He yearns to understand Buddha. But then his question, what is it, is fundamental. What is it to be, to allow Buddha's body on your cushion or chair? How do we open up, unfold, develop this practice body? So this is an important question for all of us. And Baishang said, you are much like one searching for the ox while riding the ox. It's right here. You're riding the ox. What are you looking for? Or there's another... There are a lot of stories like that. There's a story about the fire boy going to seek fire. I can't remember exactly, but somebody... This is an old story from Buddha, you know, from India, from maybe Buddhist time even. Somebody looking in a mirror and, anyway, somehow not seeing himself and thinking that he's lost his head. Anyway, somebody with their glasses on top of their head looking for their glasses. What is Buddha? And Bhajan said, you were much like one searching for the ox while riding the ox. So this Buddha that we wonder about, and sometimes we want some understanding or, you know, some way to get a hold of it. Of course, we can't. It's ungraspable. Buddha is not something. It's not something. Buddha is not some yet another entity that we can define and dissect and give an explanation to. And yet, you're much like one searching for the ox while riding the ox. And then Don says, this is interesting, he says, how is it after understanding? So he hears that he's riding the ox and he has some sense of this, oh, I understand. Something happens there. And then Bhajan said, it is like a person returning home riding the ox. So there's one of the stages, one of the phases of the ox pictures where the boy is sitting on the ox returning home. What is that about? It's like a person returning home, riding the ox. So we're all tangled up in looking for the ox, or sometimes seeing the ox, sometimes searching for it, sometimes taming it, you know, as we see our wild patterns of greed, hate, and delusion arising when we're sitting all day or whatever. But then, what is it? It's like a person returning home riding the ox. So, first, Bhajan says, you are much like one searching for the ox while riding the ox. But then he says, oh, after understanding, it's like a person returning home riding the ox. What does this mean, to return home? Well, in some sense, this is taking refuge. This is turning towards Buddha. Buddha turning towards Buddha. Not somebody else turning towards Buddha, but I take refuge in Buddha. I take refuge in Dharma. I take refuge in Sangha. Returning home. Or maybe it's like T.S. Eliot's line about the end of the journey is returning to the place where we started and knowing it for the first time. Returning home, riding the ox. But Don persists. He says, I'm not clear. How can I protect and care for it from beginning to end? Going beyond, you know, what stage he's in or where he's in the process. How do I protect and care for it? So in the Precious Marasamadhi, Dongshan repeats what Yunyan said to him. you must be most thoroughgoing. Please take good care of this. Preserve it well. And so Don is asking about that. From beginning to end, how can I protect and care for it? How do I take care of this ox, this deep truth that we maybe can't explain, but we're right there writing it home? And Bajang said, it is like an ox herd holding up a staff to watch that the ox does not disturb people's seedlings. So here we are practicing together. Buddha spouse on each of our seats with this this seedling, this delicate, precious beginnings of a Bodhi tree springing up from our seat in our practice. So Bajang said, it is like an ox herd holding up a staff to watch that the ox, or myself, or the whole process, does not disturb people's seedlings. One description of what a teacher does is kind of leave people alone and just watch them. See what's happening. See how the seedling is growing. How do we not disturb people's seedlings? How do we respect others, including the others on our cushion, enough to not mess with it, not to disturb the process of, as Dogen says, just experiencing the vital process on the path of going beyond Buddha. How do we allow the seedlings to find their own nourishment? The Lotus Sutra says that the Dharma rain falls on all, and each plant, each seedling, grows in its own way. So from then on, Don grasped the meaning. Let me read the whole story here. Zen Master Chang Sheng Dan asked Bajang, the student yearns to understand Buddha. What is it? So maybe I neglected to express appreciation for Don's yearning to understand Buddha. This is such a simple practice, and yet, you know, it's not so easy. It's not so easy to persist in it. And yet there's something important about this yearning, yearning to understand Buddha, yearning to understand what it means to be awake, yearning to understand how to take care of relieving suffering and providing joy and helping all beings, including the beings on your seat, but everything, to awaken, to so understand is a funny word. I kind of put that word down a lot because it's, you know, we understand understanding as kind of conceptual understanding, but also there's this kind of deeper understanding, the understanding that stands underneath Buddha and watches it grow. What is it? What is Buddha? And Bajang says, you are much like one searching for the ox while riding the ox. Sometimes it's hard to ride the ox. Sometimes we get thrown. Sometimes we lose our seat. Sometimes we get distracted or we get diverted. Anyway, searching for the ox while riding the ox. Maybe this is the heart of our practice. Maybe this is true practice, searching for the ox while riding the ox. Right here, riding this ox, Zafu ox, or Share ox. And still, there's this searching, there's this yearning, there's this, you know, wanting to understand, or wanting to, you know, Dogen will put it, wanting to express Buddha. Anyway, then Don says, how is it after understanding, after seeing the ox? Like a person returning home riding the ox. So, it's been said you can't go home again, but maybe home is everywhere. Maybe we can find a way to ride the ox where can be present. We can be present in each new situation. This is challenging. So Don said, I'm not clear. How can I protect and care for it from beginning to end? So this is another wonderful question. This is a good student. How can I protect and care for it? How do we take care of this practice? How do we take care of this heart of awakening? How do we take care of this yearning? Bajang said it is like an ox herd holding up the staff to check, to watch, to make sure that the ox does not disturb people's seedlings. It's beautiful. How do we, you know, so we also want to offer positive help, you know, to all beings and support growth and awareness and kindness and, you know, the health of our world. But also, just don't disturb people's seedlings. See how they grow. And Don grasped the meaning. So, Dogen, in his verse, says, even with morning mist thin, his robe gets damp. So, I don't know if he's in some way criticizing Don. The morning mist is thin. He's yearning to understand Buddha. Maybe the wrong way to approach it for him. But then he asked, then Don asked, what is it? So Dogen says, even with morning mist thin, his robe gets damp. And so this saying by Dogen was famously repeated by Suzuki Roshi in his own way, from his own experience, talking about walking through Golden Gate Park in the fog and his robes get damp. So we can have that experience, you know. Just sitting every day, sitting regularly, something happens. Our resistance, so kind of, you know, wears thin. We start to feel this deep connection. His rope gets damp. While the evening sun sets, birds fly on distant mountains. It's a lovely image. The evening sun sets and birds fly on distant mountains. The sun is setting, but there's life all through the mountains. In Houston, I saw an osprey. It's beautiful. They have lots of birds there. In this painting, an ox herd returns home amid evening radiance. So, you know, he's talking, by referring to the painting, he's talking about these ox herding pictures. And yet, you know, Dogen also talks about a painting of a rice cake not satisfying hunger, and only a painting of a rice cake can satisfy painted hunger. All of this is a painting. We are painting our lives. We're painting zazen, as we say. We're painting our practice. And the ox herd, the one who's riding on the staff and watching not to disturb people's seedlings, returns home amid evening radiance. Beautiful scene. So Dogen is using this nature poetry here to comment on this scene of not disturbing people's seedlings. The last line, singing of plum blossoms and the moon above the snow. So in this painting, an ox herd returns home amid evening radiance, singing of plum blossoms and the moon above the snow. So there are many references to plum blossoms by Dogen in his poetry, and his teacher, Chantan Mujing, also talks about plum blossoms a lot. And plum blossoms bloom white, and they're the first blossom towards the end of winter, and the blossoms fall, and it's plum blossoms on the snow. It's white on white, blonde on blonde. And then he talks about the moon above the snow. It's like the heron hidden in the moon. Or the moon in a dewdrop, but here it's the moon in the sparkling snow. snow in a silver bowl. Anyway, there's all these images of returning home, of taking care of the ox. So, well, maybe I could say more, but I'll just put it down and ask if anyone has questions, comments, responses to any of these images or any of this description of our process of practice. Please feel free. Jim, any comments or reflections?
Just the image of an intermingling of white on white on white.
Yeah. Somehow a powerful image. Plum blossoms and the snow and the moon. And part of that is that in some of the versions of the ox pictures, the ox starts out, is it black to white or white to black? No, I forget. I think the ox starts out all black, and as the pictures progress, it eventually becomes all white, iridescent. So yeah, there's the white ox there too. Just walking through the field of plum blossoms and the moon, the white moon above the snow.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Thank you, Louis. Any other thoughts about the beauty in this?
So you're saying that once you found the ox, then you bring the ox with you wherever you go, wherever your home is, which is wherever you are.
That's one way to see it. Or, do you bring the ox or does the ox bring you? You're riding the ox. What's that relationship?
Because it's Buddha riding Buddha, kind of.
Okay. Yeah, so this image of the ox is really interesting. There's a lot of Zen stories about it. But yeah, say more. How are you hearing it?
Well, like, you know, when you find awakening, like, that moment is, or you're becoming Buddha when you find awakening, and so the ox that carries you to awakening is itself awakening.
Okay, yeah. Like searching for the ox while riding the ox. Yeah. Good. There's also the image of the white ox in the Lotus Sutra, where there's the ox cart or the ox vehicle as an image for the one vehicle. That the story of all the kids in the burning house, and the whole world is burning up, and they don't want to come out because they're having too much fun. They have lots of distractions and video games to play or whatever. And the father says, "Oh, I have all these wonderful carriages. I have all these wonderful vehicles out here," you know, describing all these, you know, wonderful carriages and convertibles and anyway. So they all come out because they want to see all these great cars, and there's just this one white ox vehicle. And part of how that image is used is that this whiteness that you were talking about, it kind of includes everything. All pictures, all colors, all images. And so all the different practices, all the different vehicles are part of this one vehicle. The Lotus Sutra says, so we can respect not just tolerate, but really appreciate different aspects and modes of practice. They're all part of this writing the Aksam. Douglas.
Well, I like to think of writing the Aksam as our practice. And you ride the ox until you reach some understanding. You still ride the ox afterward. It's not that you stop practice afterward, but practice is then the expression of the awakening. And I think, but beyond that, I think there's an interesting thing, and that is that even before awakening, you're riding the ox, and just as you are afterward, you're still practicing. It's still practice. It's still Buddha work in the expression of Buddha, even if you haven't waked up. And I think that's a very Dogen, very Lotus Sutra kind of sentiment too.
Buddha going beyond Buddha, or then bodhicitta as his first inspiration.
And that the practice is not just toward an end point, and it's, it derives value only from reaching that end point, but riding the ox is still riding the ox, and before he's awakened, he's riding the ox in the same way he's riding the ox afterward. There's a difference, but it's still riding the ox.
Well, maybe there's always a difference. There's this kind of ongoing difference, there's this ongoing edge. I think the yearning is important, the caring about the quality of one's practice, one's life, the world, that impetus. But then, at the end of this little case, anyway, it comes down to, it says not disturbing people's seedlings. It's also taking care, nourishing all the different seedlings, maybe. So there's actually a lot in this story. Dave, you had something?
No, I'm just thinking about impetus.
Okay.
I think that I appreciated the Oxfording pictures from the idea of looking for the ox is very real to me.
Yeah. So even when you're riding on the ox,
kind of a critique or another kind of order of magnitude way of talking about the path. That I think I appreciate but don't understand.
Good. I think appreciation is more important than understanding. But looking for the ox, So there's, that image of riding the ox home, or Buddha going beyond Buddha, there's this, as new things appear in front of us, as there are new shoots appearing, as we have new situations or new problems or new opportunities or whatever comes up along the path, there's this dynamic, and the looking for the ox, even wanting to understand Buddha is part of riding the ox. So how do we take care of our own as well as each other's Buddha sprouts? How do we not trample on people's seedlings? Kyoshin, any reflections?
I always thought it was odd that it was an ox. The domesticated animal, instead of, I always wanted it to be like a Mustang or something like that. Every time I hear that ox story, I think about, why is it an ox? I mean, to me, an ox is oxen serve people, you know, they're domesticated to serve. So I don't think it's an accident that it's an ox, but I don't quite get that part of it. Does that make any sense? I mean, like,
yeah, I think it's a good point. But I think it's, so one response is that part of it is that the ox is also a servant of Buddha. And part of our practice is, you know, it's tricky because we want to take care of the wilderness as well, but also us in some way, the process of our practice is that of becoming domesticated.
Yeah, I think there's something there. I just haven't quite penetrated.
Good.
I'm six, so I'm stupider than usual. But I like thinking about that ox.
Yeah, no, it's a good question. Why an ox? Why not? Why a duck? Yes, Jim.
Just to chime in with Laurel, to stretch it a little further. Oxen don't feed training. Your standard ox does what it has the habit of doing. People don't have to, you know, train an ox like you break a Mustang.
Oh. Well, there's still...
No, that's true. You don't have to break an ox, but you have to teach it to stop and go and turn left and right.
Well, there's the herding the ox that's going on here. So,
riding the ox, too.
But there's definitely a different... Domesticating an ox and domesticating a Mustang are two very different things, yeah.
When I was just in Africa, and one of the guides said to us about zebras, he said, oh, people have been trying to domesticate zebras for hundreds of years. They can't do it. They're too mean. And I thought, oh, I love zebras. They're being domesticated. Anyway, oxen can.
Well, I think, you know, the ox image is partly because it's a scene from ordinary village life. The domesticated animals in rural China have been chickens, pigs, and oxen. You would eat the chickens and the pigs, but you wouldn't eat the ox.
Oh.
And the oxen is...
What a buffalo.
You know, sort of... They're huge.
They're powerful.
Yeah.
And they're also calm. They don't get excited too much unless you're doing something to...
But they're subservient, you know.
I don't know. Maybe they're not. You kind of convince the ox to do things. You don't teach. An ox isn't like a dog. You know, you don't perform tricks.
Yeah. I never knew an ox personally.
You still see them in New England sometimes for county fairs. There are farmers who will raise them for special contests for plowing and pulling wagons and things like that. But I think there's a lot of that. They're slow, they're powerful, they're tranquil. And I think those are the kinds of things. I mean, there's a reason they're an ox. They're not bulls, which would be wild. Uncontrollable completely, or out of control.
Right.
And dangerous.
But they actually do work. So I think that the everyday village function is part of what's...
And they do a huge amount of work.
They don't experience themselves as subservient. Subservience is something that we might gloss on to them, but not... I don't
know. Yeah, I think you're right. Is anybody else born in the year of the ox? Am I the only one?
Does that make you slow and...
Yes.
Powerful and not incredibly smart?
Yes. Exactly. I wonder if anybody has any thoughts about, even with morning mist thin, his robe gets damp, where the evening sun sets, birds fly on distant mountains. It's just a beautiful image. I don't know if anyone has any reflections or comments on that. To close.
I shivered when I heard it.
Excuse me?
I shivered when I heard it.
Yeah, it's just beautiful. Yeah, right. There's a shiver there. Where the evening sun sets, birds fly on distant mountains. Maybe some of us have seen that, you know, this sense of the distance and mountains without end and in the sunset.
That's a different view of practice and being permeated by Dharma than, let's say, Taoyi and koan practice, and people sort of firecrackers going off realization. This is, you know, you keep the practice going and going and going, and suddenly you're soaking wet with the Dharma, with the water. That's very, very much a sort of soto view of.
And there's something about the ox that's kind of peaceful, you know. They do a lot of work. You know, the other side of being domesticated is that they're kind of, they're steady and tranquil. So there's something there too.